I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, I think we've got a show jam-packed with information, full of self-empowering concepts and ideas, and a lot centered around the whole idea of physical health. And before we get to all that, we'd like to kick off the show in the normal fashion by playing the Hari Om mantra meditation. So if the guys in the booth would play that now, that'd be super.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Hari
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And that was a clip from back in the mid-1970s. amazing times, late 60s and 70s, a generation that grew up that wasn't totally sold on the idea that money was the most important thing, and lots of love and flowers and peace going around, and quite an amazing time. And I'd like now to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And with respect to a comment there that I made about information thought to be accurate, you know, the purpose of ET yoga is to provide a listening audience with self-empowering ideas and concepts and sometimes practical techniques that will assist in their spiritual journey. And in that endeavor, I try to make everything that I present on the show to be as accurate as I can make it. And I certainly am much appreciative of the ET Yoga audience, and I give great thanks and appreciation to those who do take the time to email me, that make comments concerning the shows, that can make input into program material that you'd like to hear about. And also, nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes with utilizing information that you've picked up from the show. And I realize that the ET Yoga audience is a very sophisticated and knowledgeable audience. And you may know lots or all of the material that's presented in a given program, or maybe not. Sometimes you'll hear new concepts, or maybe you'll just hear an older concept presented in a different way. And somehow it'll just make things click for you. And so those are the kinds of things I love to hear about from the listening audience. And I should also point out that I have a website at etyoga.com. Much appreciate your support, especially with my latest book, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. And if you like ET Yoga program, which I try to make jam-packed with information, I think you'll like the book too, because it is jam-packed with information. And now moving on to some concepts that I sort of noted during the week that I thought I would want to bring up to our listeners concerning things that you might want to ponder in your spare time. And one of those concepts would revolve around the whole idea of utilizing your imagination more. And imagination is an extremely powerful tool, and imagination is actually the conduit between your mind and your higher mind. And the higher mind will guide you to the path of least resistance. And I've also noticed the strategy among the controllers on the planet. They've come up with lots of these games, video games, and all kinds of distractions of technologies that keep the mind focused outwardly. And clearly this is affecting the amount of time that people would normally use to daydream or use their imaginations, especially young people. So I really encourage people to use their imaginations more. And it also ties in really nicely with the idea that the universe doesn't know whether you are imagining it or living it. Similarly to the brain, which can't tell if the television show is a show or if it's real. So this is a very, very important concept, the use of imagination. And as well, the universe is responding to the vibration of your being. And it doesn't pay attention to what you would call your outer reality. That state of being is what's important, not outer circumstances. And this all sort of ties in with one of Bashar's concepts, that outer circumstances don't matter, only state of being matters. And another observation about universal intelligence or source energy is that it really doesn't perceive from anywhere else but the now. So there isn't a past or a future. And this is one of the key concepts in the Greg Braden video, Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes, which took place at a hospital in Beijing, China. And if you haven't seen that particular video, I highly recommend you do so, because it's all based on the whole concept of the healing has already happened. And that's the frequency or the vibration that makes it possible to do what in the Western world we would call miracles. But if it's done enough times, it can become a technology. And another concept that I thought would be useful for people sometimes to ponder about would be to letting go of the how. It seems that we have, as humans, a fascination with always trying to know all the facts of how this is going to happen and how that's going to happen. And I think I've tried over the course of many shows to point out that the whole idea is to focus on the what, but to leave the how up to the higher mind. And not only that, but it frees you up from so much pressure thinking that you have to figure everything out, or that you have to control everything and even control the how. In fact, Bashar would even say that the rational mind isn't even capable of figuring out the how. So it frees you up so you feel lighter. You learn how to trust the how to the higher mind, and in many cases, things will flow much, much easier. Another concept that I heard recently was from a Pleiadian channeling through Barbara Marciniak. And if you're not familiar with Barbara Marciniak, she was the author of Bringers of the Dawn. And I thought it was an interesting quote there, that the Pleiadians state that there has been a 1,000,000%, I don't know who's ever heard of 1,000,000%, but the Pleiadians use the term 1,000,000% increase in sexual abuse on this planet. And in their opinion, it's due to the television and internet. And they also infer that this was done on purpose by the Anunnakis. Something to ponder. Another one that I thought was very fascinating was the Pleiadian concept that plants have been triggered to come to a much higher vibration when you communicate with them. Apparently, it is encoded in the plant's DNA. And according to Pleiadian sources, that if you eventually start talking to your plants as good friends, they can actually provide you with things you can't imagine. And that's not just from Pleiadian sources either. That's another one of Bashar's ideas, that the trees and the plants can understand and are able to communicate in ways that, for the most of us, we're totally unaware of. And speaking of axioms from Bashar, here's one to contemplate. When you learn that you can do more with less, then you will be able to do less and get more. I'm going to repeat that one. When you learn that you can do more with less, then you will be able to do less and get more. Another concept to ponder would be that people seem to be so focused on knowing what will happen to them in the future. But that is minor in comparison to how you react to what happens in the future. And again, ties in with the concept that outer circumstances don't matter. Your state of being is what matters most. How you react to outer circumstances is what determines your state of being, not what the circumstances are. State of being is the determiner of outer circumstances. Another concept that might be worth meditating about is knowing that you exist on other levels, because it helps open the channels of communication from those levels, and you don't always need to know where the information is coming from. And one of the more fascinating concepts that I've run across in preparation for tonight's show was from Bashar, that the earth is the experience of God touching his own third eye and asking, who is touching me? And that sums up the earth experience. And I want to repeat that one too, that the earth is the experience of God touching his own third eye and asking, who is touching me? And that sums up the earth experience. Another concept, just by your own existence or presence, you already are making the maximum impact on this planet. By doing or expressing, you reveal the impact you're already having. And in some cases, others become aware of the difference that you're already making. And I know that a lot of time on the ET Yoga program, we do talk about many different self-empowering concepts and ideas. And in a large part, many of those are related to the doer. I guess there's a certain identification with the doer for most of us. And it's also a good concept to ponder, who am I, and related to the who am I technique. And in that technique, the focus is placed on a spot that's placed in the third eye area, and you try to focus all your consciousness there, and then you go through the process of analyzing that you are not your body, that you're not your thoughts, for who are you when you're being aware of your thoughts, that you're not your internal organs, that you're not that spot. What spot? And this leads to the realization of the higher self. And in that regard, kind of ran into a new source of information, and he's called Muji. If you don't know about Muji, M-O-O-J-I, highly recommend you check out Muji. One of Muji's concepts is that no relationship can happen if you don't want it. And that would be that a connection with anything. And that also ties in with Bashar's concept that you don't have a belief you don't prefer. Muji would also say, don't acknowledge the mind's version of you. The things you think are real are not real. You determine what is real. And that the self is not attached to anything. Who does the mind speak to? Your identity. Then how important is your identity? Everything you are aware of is your world. It is what you accept or don't accept. Whatever you perceive or imagine appears in your consciousness and disappears in your consciousness. What is not recognized in your consciousness does not exist for you. The one who sees all these things, can this one also be seen? And this leads to the discussion of who am I? So the concept here being that when we identify with a doer, then that doer is the subject, and everything that the subject aware of is becomes object. But the trick would then be to make that subject object. And that leads to the whole concept about self-realization. And I think it bears a little bit of thought with respect to those on a spiritual path, because what I've noticed over the course of decades studying extraterrestrial channeled information, at least the parts that I consider most valid and relevant to spiritual growth, a lot of that information relates to concepts about doing, and especially self-empowering acts. And I find the extraterrestrial information a great benefit and enhancement to the yogic teachings. But at the same time, there's very little discussion both in Pleiadian teachings and Bashar teachings concerning the whole concept of self-realization. There's lots to do with self-empowering concepts, and these concepts are very important, and they typically relate to reality creation, because the fact of the matter is if you're not consciously creating your outer world, somebody else is probably manipulating it or creating it for you. And certainly the concept that's at the forefront of all that is that your thoughts, your beliefs, your definitions, your emotions, your intentions are a perfect reflection of the world that you experience. And another way to say that is that you need to be a frequency match for what you experience. But with the whole concept of the who am I, now you're searching for the connection with your higher self. And that's why I mentioned the who am I technique. And according to Sri Ramana Maharshi, for the subsidence of the mind, there is no other means more effective than self-inquiry, and that this is the direct method. All other methods are practiced while retaining the ego. Self-inquiry leads directly to self-realization by removing the obstacles which make you think that the self is not already realized. Meditation requires an object to meditate on, whereas in self-inquiry there is only the subject and no object. This is the difference between them. And when he was asked, why should self-inquiry alone be considered the direct path to realization? And he stated that because every kind of path except self-inquiry presupposes the retention of the mind as the instrument for following it and cannot be followed without the mind. The ego may take different and more subtle forms at different stages of one's practice, but it is never destroyed. The attempt to destroy the ego or the mind by other methods than self-inquiry is like a thief turning policeman to catch the thief that is himself. Self-inquiry alone can reveal the truth that neither the ego nor the mind really exists and enables one to realize the pure, undifferentiated being of the self or the absolute. The first and foremost of all thoughts that arise in the mind is the primal I thought. It is only after the rise or origin of the I thought that innumerable other thoughts arise. In other words, only after the first personal pronoun I has arisen do the second and third personal pronouns you, he, she, etc. occur to the mind, and they cannot subsist without it. Since every other thought can occur only after the rise of the I thought, and since the mind is nothing but a bundle of thoughts, it is only through the inquiry, who am I, that the mind subsides. Moreover, the integral I thought, implicit in such inquiry, having destroyed all other thoughts, itself finally gets destroyed or consumed, just as a stick used for stirring the burning funeral pyre gets consumed. And I think that's another good concept to ponder, the whole idea of who am I. And I'd like to now shift gears to talk about some health-related concepts, because I believe in these times of vast transformation that it's definitely becoming a real focal point on the planet. If you look it around, probably it's the only that the people you know, friends, relatives, etc., and how many people are having health issues, that it's certainly a topic that is a challenge for those of us on the spiritual path. And clearly, there's a saying from Sri Swami Satchidananda that there's no yoga, which the real yoga means union of you and your higher self, if you have boga, which is ill health. And essentially, health is a state of mind. And genuine feelings of love and appreciation for your body carry a positive message containing essential life-sustaining signals that result in excellent health. And in contrast, engaging in feelings of doom and despair, loneliness, helplessness, denial, anger, resentment, jealousy, greed, and fear, they carry a negative message that promotes discord within the physical functions of the body. And anger and hatred are the most damaging. The power of suggestion is well understood among the medical sciences, yet its negative applications can be readily seen with the relentless dire warnings about protecting yourself from harmful exposure to the sun and nature, or the need for vaccinations that are actually toxic chemical cocktails. And grave and foreboding announcements always anoint the arrival of the yearly flu season. Illness is now big business. And certainly, according to the Palladians, a lot of people have this attitude of, who am I to question the medical authority, or what do I know, or modern medicine has all the answers, or I have to have insurance, or what if something happens to me? I have no control over my body. And the largely ineffective, costly healthcare system is sustained by such beliefs. And in order to live well and thrive during these times of transformational change, it is to your advantage to embrace a belief in vital health and to accept responsibility for the ability to create it. As many are discovering, cure is not the overall intent of modern medicine, because treatment involving the use of expensive poisons and medications is far more lucrative than discovering the cause and purpose of the physical and/or mental imbalances. Good positive beliefs concerning the body are that my body can and will heal itself, and that your body can hear your instructions and will comply. It should also be noted that if you have a health issue, you also have a core issue. It's an emotional trauma. Healing involves unblocking old pain when your body is in discomfort or pain. Note the specific area of distress, for the location will be a key to where your emotional issues have established obstructions. The underlying message behind any symptom of poor health can be clearly understood when associated with the practical and purposeful function of the afflicted area. And according to the Pleiadians, if your genitals are calling for your attention, the second chakra is the place in your body where the energy is blocked. Examine your feelings about issues of male and female power, or the lack of it, in your life. Do you feel powerless to create what you want? After all, the sexual organs are used to create pleasure as well as to create life. Problems in the legs and feet involve issues of perseverance through forward movement, or the ability to move forward. Throat and neck issues are related to issues about speaking out and issues of self-expression. The brain is the focal point for beliefs about intelligence, the eyes about sight, the ears about hearing. The stomach is for assimilation, the intestines for accepting nourishment from life, and the bowels for releasing waste materials. Colds and flus are associated with indecision, weight imbalance, with unfulfilled desires. And while cancer is triggered by hate, often self-hatred and anger and rage from believing you are less than who you are. The liver is a detoxifying organ, and if yours is not functioning properly, what contribution of toxic emotion is seething beneath the surface? The ovaries and uterus are home for females, and issues here are related to dissatisfaction in the home. Issues in the knees reflect lack of humility or too much humility, and heart issues are related to too much controlling. So there are also many substances in nature that can assist with these issues, but the fast track is to do your inner work and offer up any guilt, shame, or hatred to your higher self. The belief in a vital, healthy existence is one of the wisest beliefs to embrace and is true with all beliefs. The bottom line is that you must believe it. A key to vital health is the ability to sustain love for yourself and excitement for life. There is no need to embrace any fearful labels of disease. Remember that forgiveness is a self-healing act that releases you from the lower vibrations of anger and judgment. Forgiveness permits you to move forward in the game so you can get with the venture of living a joyous life. You're capable of accomplishing greatness when you believe in yourself. And remind yourself that you're a co-creator of the multiverse, that life is about change, and that everything can be healed if you're willing to do the work. An old ET yoga saying is, you don't need protection from anyone or any organization. The only thing you need protection from is your own beliefs. Your body thrives on sunlight. Actually, the entire system of nature functions on pulsed light vibrations. And information is distributed on light frequencies. Your body is highly receptive to light frequencies that carry encoded instructions for navigating the fabric of multidimensional reality. And unlike the conscious mind, the cells, molecules, atoms, and subatomic particles operate with an intelligence that is not confined to linear time. Your DNA is inscribed with an accumulation of ancestral perceptions and other lifetime experiences and memories. And these serve as a foundation for your physical identity to build upon. An inner communication system sustains your organs, your continuity of memory, and your ability to move and function. And it simultaneously assesses and maintains a myriad of communications between so-called past and future situations that affect your present reality. Within the current world culture, a challenging aspect of the game of consciousness in 3D reality has been to forget that you are part of the field of existence. You had to sever connections with other levels of reality to be separated for a while from your greater identity and to appear not to know the details of the larger plan on a conscious level. And although there are many ways of playing in the field, it can definitely be a tough and challenging cut off from your higher self awareness. Nevertheless, your higher self is still working with you to map out positive, purposeful, probable realities from a place where time is suspended. The more adept you are at recognizing patterns within the symbols of 3D reality, the faster you learn to reestablish contact with your higher self. The opening and activating of the codes for new levels of life-enhancing sustainable probabilities depends on it. Each time you make a decision, you select a personal vortex of energy to fortify your version of the world. And when your mind is clear and your body is operating with optimum health, it is much easier to focus your attention on the version of reality that you consciously choose to occupy. The ability to consciously focus your attention and energetically choose what you want is a sign of an awakening mind. When you select and direct your thoughts with clear intentions, you're actually tuning your attention to a specific show of reality, like adjusting the dial of a radio to a specific broadcast. And also keep in mind that all technology weakens the aura, weakens the body, weakens the nervous system, and creates brain fog. And I might also add that eating meat lowers your psychic ability. Interestingly enough, Bashar once mentioned that at one point in time in the history of humans, the Anunnaki actually outlawed things to be written down because they believed that if it was written down, it would happen. And interesting that language, and particularly naming, carries substantial magical powers in Egyptian thought. Thus, words contain a primal substance, and the act of speaking mirrors original creation. Speaking creates reality. And interestingly enough, the word abracadabra means, as I speak, I create. Writing was given to humans by the god Thoth, and the Egyptians called their language words of the gods, and hieroglyphics, writing of the sacred words. The pyramid texts, coffin texts, and Book of the Dead all exhibit the Egyptian belief in the power of languages to affect the world. Words, spoken or written, were not just symbols, but realities in themselves. Naming is extremely important in this regard. And there's actually an old story about the god Isis that once she learns Ra's true name, she is then able to cure him of snake bite. And certainly modern languages, as used in magic, retain some of this power or control over objects or beings they name. The name is a symbol that provides a reference to a physical thing or to an abstract, imaginal, or imaginary one, and allows the one who uses the name to affect its referent. According to the magical law of relevance, any two objects which are or have ever been relevant to one another are symbolically equivalent in magic. And the unnamed is the ignored. A thing without a name will cease to exist because it cannot be referred to. Any statement of the form, I hereby, so when you state, I hereby, is explicitly framed as a performative. The speaker is declaring that the utterance itself has accomplished the act it describes. And I think this also ties in with the whole concept of the Greg Braden healing aspects. Another amazing sort of discovery is that when the diagonal lines of the chessboard are drawn across from corner to corner, as the lines cross the intersection, creating eight sections with the new lines marking off the all-important four cross-quarter points. The four times a year, which would be the 1st of February, 1st of May, 1st of August, and November. And this is when the sun is halfway between the next solstice or equinox. Some cultures celebrated the four cross-quarter dates as times of important spiritual renewal, while the traditional focus, or the four seasons of the year, marked by the solstices and the equinoxes, were celebrated as earthly festivals. And I think it's clear and good to remember that time serves as a locator and organizer of realities, creating invisible boundaries as containers for creation, and that the eight directional points were used for marking and telling time, determining their relationship to the cosmic calendar, was crucial for knowing exactly when the energies of spirit meeting matter would peak. And I think it's kind of really strange that we got into this whole concept of somehow a 12-month calendar year, which makes absolutely no sense to me. The natural flow would seemingly be a 13-month, because there would be like 28 days a month and 13 months or so, roughly. So I started doing a little bit of research into how did this all come about, and came across the following information: that the current calendar that the world now operates under is known as the Gregorian calendar, was imposed as an instrument of power over the Aztec, Inca, and Maya civilizations, and all who used other calendars, like the 13-moon, 28-day count. This 13-moon calendar was used by other ancient civilizations, such as the Druids, the Essenes, and the ancient Egyptians. And it has been identified as the calendar of Thoth. And later in Egypt, they realized that the dog star, which we call Sirius, rose next to the sun every 365 days. So when Julius Caesar came to Egypt in 48 BC, he was impressed by the Egyptian calendar and appointed Alexandrian, an astronomer, to undertake the revision of the existing calendar and to introduce a new calendar into the Roman Empire. And these changes resulted in a solar calendar with 12 months and called the Julian calendar. And the reason for the reforms in the 1500s from a Julian to a Gregorian calendar was because the year of 365.25 days was too long. This error of 11 minutes and 14 seconds per year amounted to 7 days in 1,000 years. So the calendar became increasingly out of place with the seasons. And springtime, vernal equinox, which was determining Easter, had moved 10 days from its proper date. And the solution proposed by Alexius Lilius was adopted by Pope Gregory XIII in accordance with instructions from the Council of Trent. And that would be 1545 to 1563. And it meant that 10 days were deleted from the calendar, so that October 4th of 1582 was followed by October 15th, 1582, thereby causing the vernal equinox of 1583 and subsequent years to come about March 21st. Interesting, Lee, is that Russia did not change from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar until 1918. So therefore, anyone born in Russia before 1918, their birth date is known as Old Style. The Gregorian calendar today serves as an international standard for civil use. In addition, it regulates the ceremonial cycle of the Christian churches. As a result, the Julian and Gregorian calendars have lost the exact system incorporated in the ancient calendar of Thoth. The calendar of Thoth does not require improvement. Its accuracy practically is absolute, and its use is simple. It is a self-correcting calendar. So how could mankind lose this knowledge? Actually, Plato offers one version, and he says that there have been and will be again many destructions of mankind arising out of many causes. The greatest have been brought about by the agencies of fire and water, and other lesser ones by innumerable other causes, and leaves only those of you who are discerning of letters and education. And so you have to begin all over again like children, and know nothing about what's happened in ancient times. And there's a man called Vladimir Pokomol who believes that he's discovered the ancient knowledge, and he calls it the message to the unborn. So you might want to Google search Message to the Unborn, The Mystery of the Calendar. And also interesting to note that in 1933, the League of Nations actually voted the 13-month calendar to be the new world standard in recognition of its continuity and reliability. But the 13-month was, and the 13-month was to be called Tricember. But before implementation, the Vatican was able to create skepticism and successfully opposed its acceptance. Now, if you had a calendar that was in sync with the moon and with the sun, you would have something akin to the Mayan calendar. You would have exact months of the same size, and everything would occur. And if you had a Mayan calendar, you would begin to see and notice how time has a rhythm to it. You see, that was one of the reasons that the Gregorian calendar was brought in, to bust up the synchronicities, to bust up the idea of figuring out how things work with time. It was believed that if they could keep you ignorant of the structure of time, that you would be easily controlled and docile. And to a certain degree, this has occurred. But one of the things that jumped in there was the whole idea of the blue moon. So although they created this calendar to hide something about time, they actually revealed something about time, which was the cycle of the blue moon. And the idea that this name of energy, this 2.5 year or so wave of energy, comes along. And so the blue moon actually was a significance in a Mayan calendar sort of way. And it means that something to come up infrequently or synchronistically in the moment. It was called a blue moon event. And I think it's interesting right now that we're in some amazing timelines right now, and we're in such an event time right now where things that you would never think happen, things that you would think were totally unbelievable, are highly possible. And I think a lot of people are starting to notice this energy. And if we look around, we see that just unbelievable things are happening, even in the sporting world. I mean, things that you never thought were possible are happening all over the place. Some of them, I've noticed, are in a negative synchronicity, and some are in a positive synchronicity. So idea being holding positive thoughts, getting in the flow of positive thinking, you may find that this is a very, very magical time. And sort of in relating to this whole concept about taking care of the physical body, of course, we know Bashar talks about the foundations of physical health. And those are pure water, plenty of good oxygenation, and would be even optimally enhanced by yogic breathing or pranayams. A lessening of stress in your life as much as possible. Certainly exercise, a lightening up of the diet, which means moving towards a vegan diet, getting off meat, and detoxification. And that's the one that I believe most people don't seem to realize the importance, because it's not like it was 40 or 50 years ago. There's toxicity out there that's just massive compared to the way things were. And these toxic metals in particular, they lodge in your system and in your immune system in a way that makes it almost paralyzed. And I know one of the cheapest ways to eliminate metal toxicity in the body is with bentonite clay. And like for about $10, you can buy a couple pounds of it. And mix it in take a teaspoon or a tablespoon full and put it in with some water and mix it up. And it doesn't taste great, but does wonders for your body. Very simple way to detox. And for years now, I've also recommended, as does Bashar, the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. That's Dr. Schultz. And he's got some really good 5-day detox programs for colon, liver, kidney. He even has one for the brain. this whole idea of doing some regular detox, I now kind of relate to kind of like changing the oil in your car. If you want your car to run properly, then change the oil. And these are just what I would call like foundational aspects, and I would throw in as well sunlight, because there's such a sun scare out there among the population with lathering on all these sunscreens and things, and if you really do the research on it, you'll see that sunscreens actually promote cancer, and not a good thing for kids. And do the research, and you'll come to your own conclusions. But sunlight to me is very, very important. And the Pleiadians even offer a suggestion that for every hour that you spend with technology, you try to spend in nature. And I know that's probably a hard stretch for many people, but again, you try to do the best you can with the resources available. And I think that also goes for some of these areas in our lives that really are in the long-term problematic issues for the overall health, and GMO'd foods would be one. Too many people are just not aware that how much GMO'd food they're actually eating. And a lot of the studies that show that, at least in the rat studies, third generation of eating GMO'd results in total sterility. A lot of doctors talk about it being an immediate attack on the intestinal system and the immune system. Definitely, even television lowers the immune system. And we're all talking about frequencies here, and frequencies are important. And the whole idea about getting sunlight to me is, it's huge, because vitamin D that we get from the sun, that's the trigger to the immune system. And a lot of people that have health issues, especially in North America, they have insufficient vitamin D. It's hard to have a powerful immune system if you're not getting enough sunlight. So sunlight is, like, to me, almost should be on that list of Bashar's basic core issues of health. And, of course, the concepts from the Pleiadians, to me, are it's the way to go with respect to developing beliefs that the body is an amazing, amazing healing machine. And that's what we should be teaching our kids, and that how our body will follow our instructions, and that the body, when it offers up symptoms, that there are reasons for it, and that we need to explore those reasons. It's a completely different philosophy from mainstream medicine, which is not concerned with how things came about, but only dealing with the symptoms. And Earl B. Hall, acquaintance of mine who has been involved with Pau D'Arco tea, he had pancreatic cancer. He pretty much took care of it in about 3 or 4 weeks. With lots of Pau D'Arco tea and doing his inner work. And certainly there have been many comments from extraterrestrial sources that all of our health issues actually are related to some sort of dysfunctional emotion. So it only stands to reason that something that would have to be negative would produce something negative. So negative emotions correlate directly to disease. And amazingly, all across the planet now, we see waves and waves of people that are doing all kinds of things like Qigong. By the way, the Pleiadians highly recommend yoga and Qigong as really therapeutic techniques to be involved with respect to eliminating negative energies from the body. I'm a big believer in the Egyptian healing rods. I think the Egyptians had a lot to offer there. In those times, they were only available to the inner circle. And scientific experimentation has shown that holding Egyptian healing rods for 15 minutes a day is equivalent of 1 hour of acupuncture. So highly, highly recommend Egyptian healing rods. In conclusion, I hope that you've picked up a new idea or two on tonight's program, or a topic that to ponder or to do further research. I certainly appreciate your support of my products that are available at etyoga.com. And as usual, I wish everyone out there my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And we'll now close the show in our usual manner by playing the Bashar's XYZ extraterrestrial meditation, which is designed to expand your consciousness.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably, or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity, and back out the right side all the way to infinity, and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side, and back out the right side, and side to side, and side to side, and front and back, 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down. Clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.